Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Welcome to 2013 on behalf of Jesus, God, 14, sorry, on behalf of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just want to welcome you to this new year. It's going to be a good one. The best is yet to come. And I'm believing. Remind me if we don't do the faith promise at the end, we need to do that. Cool. So I hope you're one third refreshed already after last week, unless you weren't here. Otherwise, you're going to have to get it today. And then today, my goal is to get you two thirds refreshed. And then Andy next week will be bringing it home and you'll be totally refreshed, ready for everything that's going to happen this year. And so we're talking about refreshed. And I want to start by reading a story from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Before I read it, just want to tell you a few of the characters that are in this. I'm going to say Ahab at the start. Ahab's the current king of in this time. Then there's Jezebel, and she's the king's wife. And now Ahab is an evil king. He did really, really bad stuff. And Jezebel, it was mostly because he was so bad that he married Jezebel, which was a Baal worshipper, so a worshipper of a false god. So these two are a bad, bad couple. They're a bad king and queen. And then there's Elijah, and he's the prophet of God. So 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. I kind of get the vibe that Ahab is a bit under the thumb with Jezebel here. He had to tell her everything that's happening. So if she wants to know, so he tells her. And anyway, so Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." So she wants him killed. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Who would just love that? When I get home from work, there it all is. Not prepared by Liz, but prepared by God. It's like, this is my gift to you guys. You've had a big day at work and Liz has been with the kids. I understand. Here is your dinner for you. I just love that so much. And so there he was, and he looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. So he must have been pretty tired. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. And you might remember that in that next passage of scripture, that's where he experiences God through the small whisper. These big storms come and fire and everything comes. And God's not in that, but God comes in a small, gentle whisper. And that's where that passage is in the Bible. You know, so that's the story of Elijah. I just wanted to share a bit of my life last year in 2013. Because, you know, it was a great year. We did some great things. We had a child. We planted a church. And I'm sure there's other things. We moved to Shell Harbour by God's grace and under his provision. But, you know, and I'm not trying to say, look at me and have pity for me, but last year was the hardest year of my life. I really struggled last year, and it was tough. And again, I'm not trying to say my year was worse than yours, because I know there was plenty of people that would have had a worse year than me. But just for me, it was the hardest year of my life. And I'm just being serious and honest, and raising two young kids that are really close together in age, it's really hard. And it takes your toll, takes the toll on you. Anyone familiar with that? It's just really hard. And then working full time, raising two kids, looking after Liz, and planting a church on top of all of that, I really struggled last year. And to be honest with you, if I was to use one word to describe last year to you, it would be tired. I was just tired the whole year. And before kids, I'd be coming to church just full of energy and full of life and passionate. Last year, almost every morning, I would come to church just so tired, just so exhausted. I really did have a hard year. And it was the hardest year of my life. And I'm sure, you know, there are going to be harder years ahead and things ahead that are going to be tough. But it was just tough, and I was exhausted and tired. And in this story about Elijah, you know, he sometimes gets criticized a bit for running away when the queen says, "I want you dead." Because in the previous chapter, Elijah had just been in a battle, or kind of a battle, with about 450 false prophets. So prophets of a false god. And he had just defeated, amazingly, 450 prophets and had them killed. Now, the other thing about Elijah, and in this time, this is a bit after King David. So King David is an amazing king, after God's own heart, incredible man. And then there was King Solomon, and he started well, but he finished really badly. In fact, so bad that because of his leadership and his kingship, the kingdom of God split in two, so Israel and Judah, and that's where it all began. And then from then on, it was just, you know, one bad king after the other. It was just sin and idolatry coming into Israel and just affecting all the people. And it was so bad that all these people that had been led under evil kings had killed all the good prophets, all the prophets of God. And Elijah was the only one left. And then he finds himself in this battle against 450, and he makes fun of him, and he's really strong and full of faith, and wins the battle and kills 450 prophets. So he had this incredible win. He just had this incredible moment in his life where he just took down all of the false prophets. And he was the only prophet left of God, the one true God. And he was the only one. And so he'd been spending his life, you know, being the only one, serving God, giving him his all. Then he's fighting this battle against all the other prophets. And then after that battle and he wins, then Jezebel says, "No, I'm not put off by what you just did. I still want you killed." And we sometimes look at Elijah there and think, "Oh, what a wimp," as if we'd ever had done anything like he'd just previously done in chapter 18. And we think, "Oh my gosh, what a loser. Why would he do that? He just had this incredible battle and he won. He should be full of faith." And yet he runs away from the plan and purpose of God. And I don't think it was because he was just, just weird or just, just changed instantly. I think he was worn out. I think he was genuinely worn out and tired because he was the only prophet among his people. He was trying to steer people back to God. It was all the pressure was on him. All the weight was on him to lead the people, lead the king back to God. And nothing was happening. He just fought this battle and beat all these prophets. And then he has to face another battle. And I think that just sort of tipped him over the edge. And he wasn't just a crazy guy that would be full of faith one day and just full of doubt the next day. He was just genuinely worn out. And I believe this message is for some people, not all people, because other people would have had a great year last year and you're feeling fresh and ready for a new year. Well, I'm one of those people that's still tired and I still need refreshing. And so this word is just for me as it is for some people today. So if you're one of those people that are refreshed and feel strong and ready for another year, I want to encourage you to be vocal during this message and to really encourage those just through saying, "Amen, yeah, that's true, Adrian. You're so good looking." You don't have to say that part. But just be so vocal to encourage those like myself that might be tired and might have had a hard year. You know, last year I had a lot of great stuff happen. Like I mentioned, we planted a church. Oh my gosh, we planted a church. We moved to Shell Harbour. God provided in the most incredible way. And we had the birth of our second son. We had some incredible stuff happen, just like Elijah had some incredible stuff happen in his life, full of miracles. But then just one thing just tipped him over the edge, because he was serving God with everything. And it was all on him, and it was all the pressure was on him. And he just got to that point where he's like, God, I've had enough. That's it. One more battle was just too much. And I want to go. I want to quit. I'm out. And, you know, Elijah's just human like all of us. We can't have these expectations on prophets and people in the Bible to live perfect lives. Only Jesus lived the perfect life. And so let's not be harsh on the people in the Bible. Let's just say, wow, you probably did a lot better than I would ever do. And let's just be, you know, let's just honor them and be inspired by them. So Elijah, he was worn out. He just got pushed to the edge and he just had his moment where he said, oh God, I give up. And I bet we've all been there and we've all done that. And God, another battle, another big bill. I just paid off my last credit card and did all that. Another bill. And you just want to give up. And you're tired. Or maybe last year was just a rough year and you had a hard year also. And you want to give up. I believe one of the answers to just feeling tired and exhausted is in this scripture. Because God loves us and he has a plan and purpose for us. And he doesn't want us to live exhausted and live tired and miss out on all that he has for us. And I just love this scripture because it's all about God initiating in our lives and doing something for us. So 1 Kings chapter 19. So do we get a better picture of Elijah now? He wasn't just, you know, one of those crazy spiritual guys that was high on Sundays but low on Mondays. He'd actually been just totally worn out. I like how the Message puts it. It says this, so it just says it a bit differently. It's a different version of the Bible. And he says, he came to a broom bush, and collapsed in its shade. He collapsed. He was at his end. He just, you know, he was exhausted. He collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Enough of this, God. So you can just hear his heart, hear his spirit. He's like, God, I've just been serving and serving and serving, and I've won a battle, but then now there's another one. I can't believe this. Like, this is too much for me, God. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Then another verse that says this. Then the word of God came to him. So Elijah, what are you doing here? So this is a bit after that passage I just read. He said, I've been working my heart out for you, God. I have been working my heart out for you. This guy was tired. He was exhausted. He was spent. And he come to the end of himself. He needed to be refreshed. He needed to be refreshed. And thank God that he is a God of grace. And he came to Elijah's aid and helped him. And I just want to draw out a few things from this scripture that can really apply to us. Because this is so important. Because I believe, and I know there's so many Christians around that are just missing out on the great plan of God because they're tired and they don't have the energy to keep believing. They don't have the energy to keep serving. And they miss out on so much. And I don't want us to be a church and to have people in our church that miss out on all that God is doing. So if you're someone that's tired and exhausted and you've just had enough, you're just making it to church, I believe that there's some keys in this scripture that are for you to help you to be re-energized, to be filled with life so that you can keep serving God. Because remember, he has a great plan for you, and his plan is for you not to be tired and exhausted, but to be full of life and energy. He wants you to be refreshed. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So the first thought I want to bring from this scripture is grace. Grace. So let's go back to it. Elijah had just run away, fell under a broom bush, collapsed, fell asleep, prayed, God, take me now. I've had enough. And it says, where are we? So from verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." I love that. That just shouts at me grace. Elijah had just given up on God, but God had not given up on Elijah. Elijah was at his lowest point in his life, and God came and met him right there. That is grace all over. God is a God of grace. And I want to say to you, you might have given up on God, or you might have given up on the plan and purpose that he has for you, but God hasn't given up on you. And I think one of the keys to being refreshed is knowing God's grace. Knowing that God wants to initiate this. He's not saying to you, "Hey, you need to sort yourself out before you can serve me. You need to sort yourself out before I can speak to you and give you a word of revelation or give you a purpose and vision for the year. You need to sort yourself out. You need to get more discipline. You need to, you know, get your act together." God came to Elijah at his lowest point when he had totally rejected God and said, "God, I've had enough." And God came to him. So when Elijah gave up on God, God didn't give up on him. And I want to say, whatever your 2013 was like, maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe you just didn't give your best and it was a bit of a lazy year. I want to say grace overrides 2013. God's grace overrides 2013. That is good news. It doesn't matter what you did last year. It doesn't matter how bad, you know, it doesn't matter how lazy, it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. Grace overrides 2013. Elijah just gave up on God, just turned his back on God. That's pretty low. And God met him and God came and helped him and gave him food. That tells me God wants to do the same in our lives. That when we give up on God, he hasn't given up on us. And he wants us to be refreshed. He wants us to be filled with energy. He wants us to be filled with life so that we can live for him and experience all the greatness, the great plans and purposes and blessing and favor that he has for us. Grace, grace. I just want you to understand grace. It's all about God's grace. Grace overrides 2013. If you want to write something down, write that down. Grace overrides 2013. It gives you a fresh start. It gives you a new start. It gives you a second chance. And if you mess up again, that's okay. Grace is right there again. God is there to help you every single time. It's not like he has, you know, 10 lives for you and you're on your ninth and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I've just got to really, you know, walk well, stay on the narrow path. If I take one step off, that's it." No, God will help you every single time. You know, last year, grace was another key word for me because I just, like I said, felt tired. I felt spent. And you know when you're tired, you're just not as positive. When you just got no energy left, you just don't have the energy to love and be nice. Well, last year, we got internet at our home. And that was not an easy process. I love Shell Cove. It is an incredible place to live. It really is. But for internet, it's terrible. And it's first in best dressed. And there is thousands of people there that got there before us. And they've got internet and they're surfing the web. And we're on the shore doing nothing. But sorry, bad joke. I'm a dad, it's okay. But, you know, it was just, I was already tired, already big year, and we're trying to get internet, calling up all the companies, and can't get through, and then we go to Dodo. They're Dodos, by the way. Sorry. But called up them, and they said, "Yeah, sure, we can do it, but you have to get your phone connected first." All right, so, you know, go through the whole process, takes a couple of weeks, get our phone connected. "Oh, no, we can't give you internet, sorry, there's no more ports left." "Oh, thanks for that, bless you. I believe God's got a great plan and purpose for your life." Wasn't quite like that. I wasn't mean, I just didn't say anything. But, you know, it might not sound like much, but when you're at your end, It just all adds up. And I remember one night when I finally got the internet working. It was one evening, and I was just, like, I was rotten. And Liz will tell you, I was filthy. We finally found a company that would give us internet, and it was all, I had to set it up at home. And I'm not technical, and a lot of people know that. So me trying to set up internet, you know, it's a bad thing. So, but I was just so grumpy that night. So grumpy. And I wouldn't talk to Liz, and I'd just give her the shoulder, and I'm like, I'm just stomping around the house and trying to get this to work, and don't, Joel, don't you dare try and play with me right now. And I was just not happy. I know you can't, finding is hard to believe, but it's true. But honestly, I really experienced grace that night. I finally got it to work. I don't know how, God's just like, I've had enough. He just, you know, flicked a switch and turned it on. And then, you know, Liz had every right just to, you know, not talk to me that night and just leave me alone and probably, you know, have a word to me and say, you know, your attitude stinks. But she just gave me a hug. And I can't tell you just how much of that of grace I experienced. Honestly, that grace just took away all the anger, took away all the stress. I've never, like, I don't think I've experienced from a person grace like that before, where it's just in that moment, that embrace, that hug, it just took away everything. And I have to say, I experienced a lot of grace last year. And something else I learned was you just got to show people grace. Because when you don't have kids, you think, oh man, come on, you should be more positive than that. You should be more upbeat than that. You should have your life more together than that. But then when you got kids, it's like, it just takes so much more out of you. And it's, you know, it just takes a lot of energy. And I'm probably complaining a lot. I'm just venting, but I'm feeling better, by the way. I should do this more. But I'm just saying that I've learned to show people more grace, to be more graceful, because they're probably going through things that I haven't gone through, and it's really tough. And I guess, want to encourage all of us to show people more grace. I just looked at the time and realized I don't have very long left, and I'm only in the first point. Yeah, thanks. Grace. Hey, if you experience God's grace, it'll just take away all the negativity. It'll just take away everything. And you will feel refreshed and ready to serve God and just keep going. Amen? Yeah. Number one, grace. God came to Elijah at his lowest point. When Elijah gave up on God, God didn't give up on Elijah. Number two, get up and eat. If we want to be refreshed this year to serve God and to live for him, then I think this is another key in this scripture. Because remember, Elijah is tired, he's exhausted, he's had enough. But God's plan didn't end there. He had more for him to do. He had an apprentice to raise up, Elisha. And so God had not given up on him. He needed Elijah to be refreshed so that he could get back a part of the plan that God had for him, get back on track. And so God comes in by an angel, gives him food and says, get up and eat. And I just read that in verse 5 and 6. So Elijah was exhausted and God said, get up and eat. I want to say to us that we are naturally tired when we don't eat. When we don't eat, we don't have energy, do we? And I know a lot of Saturdays, I just don't eat. I forget to eat and I get a headache at the end of the day. I'm like, well, you should have eaten and you wouldn't have had this headache. You just don't have energy when you don't eat. And I want to say that, like, spiritually, if we're not eating, then we're going to be tired. And God wants to refresh us. And in this story, God came to him in the form of an angel and said, get up and eat, and provided him with bread and water. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I want to say to us this morning that if you need to be refreshed, if you're feeling tired spiritually, not just physically, but you're just had enough, maybe you should look at your diet. Are you feeding on the word of God? Are you feeding on what God has given to you? Just like God came to Elijah and gave him what he needed, God has come to us and given us what we need, and it's the word of God. And the word, it lives on the inside. It lives in here. It doesn't live on a bookshelf. It lives on the inside. It lives in our soul. And I want to read this scripture. from 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. It says, it's from New King James Version, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." That sounds like a refreshed, healthy, strong, vibrant type of life, just as your soul prospers. So I think there's a link between our outside world and our inside world. And if we're feeding our soul with the Word of God, if we're feeding it with the very words of God, that we don't live off bread alone, we live off every word that comes from the mouth of God. We are a new creation, remember. When we gave our life to Jesus, He saved us. We are born again. And a part of the new creation is a new diet. We have to feed off something else as the new creation. And I want to say we need to feed off the word. God's saying, get up and eat. And maybe that's a word for somebody today. You need to get up and eat. God has got the word for you. And maybe you're feeling tired because you haven't eaten the word. You're malnourished, as some would say. You're lacking the essential nutrients that you need as a Christian to live out the plan and purpose that God has for you. You're lacking the word of God. And if you're tired, you need to eat. You need to eat. You need to get up and eat. I want to encourage you to get a word for the year. I remember a couple of years ago, fasting. I was hungry. I hate fasting. And God spoke to me. And just Him speaking to me and giving me a word for the year, it just, I don't know, sent life through me. And I was just ready. I was like, oh, God's spoken. He's given me direction. I now know what to do. I was refreshed because I'd eaten the word. He had provided it for me and I'd taken it in and eaten and I was refreshed. I want to encourage you, get a word for the year. Get a word for the year. God wants to speak to you. He's got a word for you. You need to eat it though. And if you're feeling tired, it's probably for a number of reasons, but one of them is probably that you haven't eaten. You haven't eaten. And on the inside, you're skinny and fragile and there's no strength. And you need some meat. You need the word of God inside of you. I want to encourage you to get up and eat. If you're taking notes, write, get up and eat. Get up and eat. Amen? Get up and eat. So that's the second thing I wanted to say. There's a couple of great scriptures that just talk about the word of God. And one of them is John 6, verse 63. It says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and full of life." Hey, if you need life, if you need refreshing, eat the word of God. His words are full of life. And you need that life inside of you so that you can fulfill all that God's got for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 from the Message. He's talking about some religious people. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head and we are the body. We grow up healthy in God only as He nourishes us. Do you need nourishing? Do you need refreshing? Get up and eat. Get up and eat. Number two, let's go to verse 7 in chapter 19. "The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled." "Get up and eat." So he, strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God. My next point is this: get up and eat again. Get up and eat again. One meal was not enough for Elijah to fulfill and take on the journey that was before him. And I want to say to you, one word of God at the beginning of the year, one meal is not enough for you. Christmas, the holidays, it's a time of eating, of many things. And one of those is eating, and eating lots. Let's make it a time of eating the word of God and just getting fat on the word of God and obviously doing what the word says, and that's what keeps you lean. But just taking it all in, eating the word of God, make it a season of the word and not just food. But we can't just last off that one season. The angel comes back a second time and says, get up and eat again. We've got a whole year to live. We've got a whole 2014 before us, and one serving of the word is not going to be enough. I was thinking of Jesus when he was being tested in the wilderness by the enemy. And one scripture was not enough. he had to have another scripture, and then he had to have a third scripture to come back at the enemy. And I want to say to you, one scripture is not going to be enough. One favorite scripture is not going to be enough. It might get you through, I don't know, a few months, but you need something else. And I want to encourage you to feed on the word daily, to continue to feed on it, to continue every single day to get up and eat. You need the energy. You need to be refreshed every day this year. And last year, again, tough year, tired. My prayer life was not where it has been in the past. But one thing I did do is just get a bite of God's word every night in my bed. Just get a bite of it and just write it down in my journal. And that was just kind of enough to keep me going, keep me going. I had to get up and eat. I had to get up and eat. Otherwise, it would just overwhelm me and be too much for me. I want to encourage you, get up and eat again. Get up and eat again. We need to be refreshed, so we need to eat. But that food is going to digest and go, and we're going to need energy again tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. So I want to encourage you, get up and eat again. Just quickly, in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, it's talking about a righteous person. It says, that person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it, meditates on his law, or his word, day and night. Everyone say day and night. Day and night. Day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Can I have the band come up and they can start playing? Whatever they do prospers. In season and out of season, whose leaf does not wither. I don't know about you, but I want to live that kind of life. When times are tough, when I'm just running low, but somehow my leaf doesn't wither. Somehow I just keep prospering. Somehow I just keep bearing fruit in season. Why? Because I delight in the law of the Lord and I meditate on it day and night. The angel came back to Elijah a second time and said, hey, one meal is not enough. You can't just get by. You can't make this journey just on one meal, just on one word. You need another one. And we need to know that the word of God, we need to eat from it every single day. We need to eat for it because the journey is too long. The journey will be too tough without it. The journey will give up like Elijah did if we don't eat the word of God. If we don't get up and eat and take it for ourselves, amen? Get up and eat again. I want to encourage you to have a reading plan for the year. Why not make a plan for your year? Why not determine what your year is going to look like in regards to the Bible and reading it right now so that you're not unprepared, so you're not just flicking and picking every day, which I did a lot last year, by the way. But why not set a plan? I want to encourage you to set a plan, a reading plan. Maybe read the Bible in a year. Maybe read the New Testament next this year, whatever. But set a plan so that you're getting up and eating every day. So you have a meal prepared for you every day to give you the energy you need to serve God and to do all that He has got for you. Because one meal is not enough. I want to finish on this scripture from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. And this is from the Message version. I love this. Oh, the utter extravagance of His work in us who trust Him. Endless energy. Everyone say endless energy. That didn't sound like you said it with endless energy. Everyone say endless energy. Boundless strength. Endless energy. Come on, we're getting there. Boundless strength. Endless energy. Boundless strength. That's the way God wants us to live. And it says, all this energy issues from Christ. And the Bible says that He is the Word of God, that Christ is the Word. And God raised Him from death and set Him on a throne in deep heaven. I love that. Oh, the utter extravagance of His work in us, in you and me who trust Him. Endless energy. When I read endless energy, I think of Joel. He just seems to have endless energy. energy. And anyone with young kids or has had young kids just knows how much energy they have. And it's always the parents that give up before the kids. And they keep running and playing and they've just got endless energy. When I read that, I think, okay. You know, that's just clever use of words in the Bible. But it's not. That's the word of God to us. That's how God can allow us and enable us to live with endless energy and boundless strength. We can live like that. We can have the energy in those rough times when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when we're just tired and exhausted. We can actually eat another meal and find our endless energy and our boundless strength. And I want to say that is available for all of us. You just need to eat it. You just need to get some food in your stomach. You just need to get some word into your soul. And He'll give you the energy that you need to live out the plan and purpose that He's got for you, to experience all the great things that He wants to do in your life. Remember, it's grace. God's initiating this. You might give up on Him, but He hasn't given up on you. He's coming to you with the meal. He's saying, hey, here it is. Here it is. Get up and eat. And once you've eaten and tasted, seen that the Lord is good, He's saying, hey, get up and eat again, because the journey is too big for you. 2014, big year ahead. And just one reading of the word is not going to be enough. We need to get up and eat again and again and again and again. Simple message, but so much truth in it. And I know that this isn't for everybody. Well, it kind of is. But I know there's people like me that are just tired, just making it through. This is a word for you. This is God speaking to you, saying, get up and eat. You can have that endless energy and that boundless strength in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. God, I thank you that you showed us grace by sending us your Son Jesus to die for us, Lord. I thank you that you initiated your love for us. You initiated everything for us, Lord, and we just need to get up and eat it and take what you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for grace. And Lord, I just pray over anybody today, Lord, that might be feeling like they don't deserve a great 2014. They might just feel so low that they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to have a good year. But Lord, I thank you that your grace overrides 2013. And I just pray over that person or people, Lord, that they would experience your grace. And it would just take away everything, Lord. And they would just experience your unconditional love and just understand and have a revelation in their spirit, God, that you love them, that you want to give them another chance, that you want to help them, you want to provide for them. I pray that people would experience your grace. And I pray over all of us, Lord, that we would get up and eat what you have given to us so that we have the energy to serve you, so we can be refreshed for this year, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would get up again and again and again and continue to eat your word so that it would just strengthen our bodies, Lord, so that we wouldn't live fatigued, Lord, just low on energy, God, but we would live with strength and power by your Holy Spirit inside of us, by your word of life inside of us, God. I pray that in Jesus' name over people, Lord, that really need that, God. I just pray that I would get up and eat in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here today and you don't know God, and you are low on energy, I guess, and you just need something inside of you, well, you know, it's God. It's Jesus, who is that space inside of you that you need to be filled by a God who loves you, who died for you and cares for you. And so we're going to pray a prayer and we're all going to pray together. And if that's you, pray it from your heart and just accept Jesus into your life and receive salvation. So repeat after me. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for me, who has saved me, who has given me a new life. Thank you for a new purpose, God. I now want to follow you. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That is so cool.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.